Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of Freedom from Addiction, Truth, Gospel of the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. And I'm excited to welcome the program, Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you?
Doing real well, Neil.
I know we have an amazing guest today, and I appreciate always you being with me. And tell us who our guest is.
I do. Today, we're going to help everybody that's listening who might have a child, a daughter, son, grandchild that has a problem with substance abuse. And to this point, you haven't been able to figure out a way to help them. And so I've got a guest on today that's going to help with that. Her name is Gail Blake, and Gail is the mother of a substance abuse daughter. And I'm going to start by letting her talk for a minute about what she thinks about the situation, and then we'll go into letting her talk about her story, which is entitled From Beauty to Beast, My Daughter's Slip into Hell. Good morning, Gail.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Okay, you got the floor. Go ahead.
Okay. I found the solution to the wicked problem of dealing with drug and alcohol addiction. It's my spiritual healing as described in Freedom from Addiction 3. Increasing the level of self-esteem is absolutely necessary for the cure. In the course of human development, the first 5 years are very crucial and the time when personality and behavioral patterns are established for children's lifespans. I now realize all addictions' root cause of self-esteem begins before the age of 5. It is a time when a child needs to be nurtured, not admonished. Encouragement and reward for what children do good and not negative responses for just being a kid and making a mistake. Positive reinforcement produces a positive child. When making a mistake other than life-threatening ones, there should be no yelling. Just explain that's not the best way to do things and showing them a better way. So many patterns of addictions are learned in the home. Addictive behaviors don't fall far from the tree. The parents. My child's father came from a military father. His father yelled, so my child's father yelled, because that was the way he was reared. Thus, the seed of low self-esteem was planted in those early years, and no amount of me trying to set a good example and nurture my baby girl could soothe the pain of the sword inflicted by harsh words. Words can hurt deeply and kill the inner spirit. Active, low self-esteem behaviors, such as comfort by food, alcohol, power, abuse, over 30 addictive behaviors. A summary of what I learned and how it applies to the wicked problem surrounding addiction is that negativity snuffs out the brightness of the human spirit from within, and soon the inner spirit grows dim, causing a black hole within the soul. Rebuilding self-esteem is vital in conquering addiction. Low self-esteem is the pathway to addiction, like quicksand pulling one down with no escape. Rebuilding esteem with positivity rather than showing negativity towards an addict rekindles their inner spark within. Reinforcement of their esteem with God by their side will produce the belief they can succeed at anything, including stopping their addiction. My grandmother used to always say, with God, there's a will, there's always a way. Now let me tell you my story. From beauty to beast, my daughter slipped into hell. I was awakened by my daughter screaming and pounding on my front door. Once again, peace and quiet was something I would not have. This had become routine behavior for my lost child. I had but two choices, open my door, or call 911. By choosing the latter, maybe this time she would get the help she so desperately needed. As I got out of bed, my heart raced and fears mounted. For this night, who would I face if I opened my door? The beauty or the beast, her internal evil twin lurking within? I could only wonder what had happened my precious little girl who used to chase butterflies and pick me flowers. How did she get so lost? Even worse, how did I not see how and why she changed? I suppose that sometimes a person can be too close to see the truth staring back at them. Countless times I sought to get her help and found solutions. I made many calls for protection and too many pointless pleas to agencies to get her help. But she was an adult and free to decline it from those who answered my calls for help. The legalities in play were complex and there were no easy pathways for emergency solutions. My choice became clear and I didn't open my door as I had so many times before. To become both physically and verbally attacked me in recent years, and not only me, but others as well, including her innocent infant son to the floor who happened to be an inconvenience during one of her unforeseen outbreaks of rage. Her actions had truly not only become shocking, but dangerous for anyone or anything who happened to be in her path of spiraling decline. And on this night of terror, I finally came to grips and decided enough was enough. As she continued her ranting, I cried back to her as she pounded on the other side of my front door. I've done everything I know to help you. I leaned my head back with cell phone in hand, explaining that I was calling the police and she'd be better off in jail. And being there, she would be fed and have a warm place to sleep instead of being homeless and wandering aimlessly both day and night. It may sound heartless, but it was love. Tough love. Her family had offered her shelter. This in turn only led to her unleashing her anger on those trying to help her, blaming those for her choices that she alone had made. Tears streamed down my face, my eyes blurred as I dialed those three simple digits. My heart was breaking as I came to realize I had no choice than to turn my back on my only child for the first time in her 40 years of life. Worst of all, it was cold outside as she walked away in the dreary, rainy night. I had finally taken the actions of tough love, which was harder for me to do than her being shunned on that cold winter's night. Deep down, I knew that each time I tried to help her, I was only enabling her not to be responsible for her own misguided actions. Each time I tried helping, in the end, things never improved for her. She'd gone through some traumatic events during her lifetime, which had also triggered some night terrors for a while. However, over the past couple of years, her mental stability has steadily declined. An example was talking about one thing and just slipping into another world of reality. Extreme paranoia, such as unplugging cords and screaming at the wall, "Stop watching me!" Additionally, other bizarre behaviors, such as talking to people in the bathroom mirror, people only visible to her. Hallucinations, incoherence, and a paranoia were the actions of my daughter, I suspect, the schizophrenia. Her symptoms surmounted just after giving birth to her second child. At that time, I assumed she had postpartum depression, but it became apparent she was depressed, which made me suspect that it could be a different mental problem. I'm not a mental health professional. I'm just a mother, guessing what the problem was so I could take her to someone to get her help. However, I found the truth was so obvious in how I was guilty of turning a black eye to something I didn't want to admit. Within 30 minutes of my 911 call, the police arrested her after being found trespassing elsewhere. During a routine search, the officers found a cocaine-based narcotic in possession. It had been drugs all along. That's when the pieces all fell in place. Something she had hidden well. But drugs were the two causes of her psychosis and loose or behaviors. However, to love my child, I had to accept the beast within this precious soul to whom I'd given birth. The monkey she carried on her back was caused by the beast that now flowed within her veins, rendering her powerless to resist it and to consume my precious little flower. As a mother, I have a finally faced the fact that to love my daughter was to also love the addict she became. Addiction, a spiritual illness, substance abuse, and mental illness go hand in hand. It's like trying to answer the age-old question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Each exists because of the other. Although I tried to get her help by my mental health and substance abuse professionals, she never showed up for appointments. In the past, when she cried for help and ambulances came, one of two things happened. She would change her mind and refuse treatment or be taken to the hospital, allowed to sleep it off, only to be released back on the streets. She was never admitted to the psych unit for treatment of substance abuse. On the other hand, perhaps her behavior was not a cry for help, but rather a psychological need for attention. I can only wonder, grasping at straws for reasons and hope for solutions. I know I'm not alone. As a mother, I don't have the answers or solutions. I've reached out and traveled every avenue to get that help my child needs, but she does have the right to choose her path, and there are no emergency avenues to override that right, even temporarily, so she can get treatment. She has to want to help herself get better. And even if my child is ordered into treatment, if it's not her will to clean, get clean, she will go back to the security of the familiar. The epidemic of addiction is a national crisis facing every walk of life. It doesn't discriminate between race, sex, age, or social class. There's so many victims, so many lost souls. I call them the walking dead. They're slaves to the beast that drives their every move. The love of family no longer matters and has been replaced by that euphoric fake feeling they come to know as life's answer. My child has lied to me, stolen from me, attacked me. She's disowned me because I had nothing left to give. She's become a danger to others as well as herself. It seems the world has turned a blind eye to this growing problem. Unfortunately, the beast can never be killed. Even after recovery, it's something that will always lurk within. And without spiritual understanding to overcome its temptation, the beast will always win. I honestly don't know how much jail time she will do. She has two felonies under her belt, not counting this one. Her first was due to unwitting participation in a different type of crime, something her boyfriend dragged her into just after she became 18. Her second became a little over 10 years later after the birth of my first grandchild. She had some elective surgery and got hooked on opioids. That's when things spiraled out of control. She's been riding on the stormy seas of drug abuse and use since then. She's experienced the ebb and flow of getting high only to come down again. The cycle repeats until somehow ended in death or incarceration. Her first major crisis ended with her car rolling in the parking lot, her passed out at the wheel, and my two-year-old grandson crying in the back seat. This resulted in her second felony arrest, all because she was taking more drugs to escape from reality. And I will never understand why she didn't realize she had life's most precious gift. The love of a child cannot be surpassed by the false euphoria of any drug. Life, love, and laughter are the ultimate highs. No drug can give you that. Turning to substances to feel good only numbs a person's body and senses to reality. In the end, require more and more drugs and alcohol to feel something other than empty when plunging down from that chemically induced high. I honestly thought she'd overcome her need for drugs and alcohol. She served her time in jail and completed her probation. She got a job in a drug rehab center. She even went back to school to become a substance abuse counselor. She was only one course away from getting her associate's degree and transferring to a nearby university. But she got sidetracked and unfortunately lost sight of the light at the end of the tunnel. After getting back in with the old crowd she knew from her past, she didn't fall off the wagon. She leaped off the wagon into hell, dragging everyone and everything she ever loved down the pits of a dark world. Whose fault is it that so many lost souls walk among us? Why is the demand for altered states of mood so high? And if this demand somehow dwindled, would the drug and alcohol abuse not also decrease as well? Could it be that society has failed these lost people? When people are happy and find inner peace, there is no need to fill the void with drugs or alcohol because they are content and felt self-fulfilled. Perhaps our society needs to examine the root cause of this unrest. I last heard my daughter was seen walking on the railroad tracks yesterday, her arms outstretched as if she was flying. She's headed towards the disaster, Sam. The beast has one and the beauty's lost in the dark tunnel with no light in Sam. Drugs and alcohol abuse affect and hurt the innocent. They are the true victims and the ones who suffer greatest in this very, very wicked problem. Heaven help us.
Well, thank you. That's a very powerful statement. And there's lots of people out there in the world that will benefit from hearing about your experience with your daughter, because they're going through the very same thing on a daily basis. So I thank you for being on the show today and telling us about your experience. If someone out there listening wants to talk to you or email you, can you give us some contact information?
Yes, I can be emailed at, this is lowercase, gigi56.80@yahoo.com. Gigi is my grandmother name. It's gigi56.80@yahoo.com. And I hope this is, if it only helps one person, then this podcast has been a success. And I hope it does.
Absolutely.
I feel your pain.
Powerful. Thank you again. Wynn, anything else to add? I know that you want people to know.
I just want to tell my listeners, it's been a pleasure to have you listening to my show today. And it's my sincerest desire for you to get something out of it that will make your life richer, fuller, and in this time of coronavirus pandemic, safer. As you know, I am Reverend Wynn Henderson. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve problems in your life. Freedom from Addiction, Share Your Mission, and Truth Just Below the Surface is the longest running, single hosted and produced, spiritually based radio internet talk show in America. It's been continuously running for over 20 years. I introduce you to celebrities and non-celebrities alike who have something to say about the disease of addiction in its 30 plus different forms and about the importance of finding your mission or purpose in life and then acting on it. More recently, as an investigative journalist, I bring you the truth just below the surface about the corona pandemic. And so, as you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, my mission or purpose in life is to spread the message that there is a cure for all addictive behaviors. This is a spiritual cure. And the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction 3. It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. If you meet three simple criteria, everyone gets well. I have two free resources where you can start your journey. The first is to follow this link to my podcast, and it's www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. No caps, no spaces. And if you want to have more detail about the treatment plan for substance abuse and 29 different addictive behaviors, go to my website, www.revwynhendersonmd.com. And I hope everybody has a blessed day. And Neil and Gail, thank you for being on the program today.
As I said, thank you. Absolutely. It was an honor to be here. Thank you.
All right, guys. That was Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface of the Neil Haley Show. Take care.